Today on the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast, we're talking about the premiere of Moon Knight. It's here. We're going to give our instant reactions with special guest Brian V. Klein. All that right of this ad, we have no control over. Welcome to the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. My name is Matthew Carroll.
And I am gobsmacked with that episode.
Right.
And it's also Brian V. Klein. How's it going?
Right. Welcome, Brian V. Klein. Thank you for joining me for Moon Knight. I'm so excited to have you on. I know it's one of your favorite comic characters, right?
Yes. He's always been in my top three, and I'm just glad that he is making it over to the live action arena. So
yeah. Well, without giving us too much comics information, how do you feel about the first episode of Moon Knight and how it like brought your character to life?
I like how they focused on his non-dominant character. Like his the first person point of view was always with Stephen Grant. It was way off of how they normally portray him, but at least it was a variation of who, I mean, Mark Spector is the core character. That's who the main guy is, and how in this one they shifted around. Like whenever he went to Mark, it would do that weird, like, and then all of a sudden he'd be back like, what the hell just happened? So, but other than that, you know, just the depictions and the way that it was shown, I loved it. So, but I try to keep my comics knowledge a little bit at bay, but sometimes it might just overtake me. So
apologies
to everyone for spoilers. So
try not to spoil us too bad. It's always a fine line because like comics context is wonderful. But you never want to like be too explicit with, oh, this character dies after this event, you know, like that kind of stuff.
And that's what I love about the MCU. I've mentioned on Source Pages is that they take a main part of a story, like with the Hawkeye run, they took the Fraction run, and they used bits and pieces of it, and it was familiar, but it had nothing to do with the story. So at least here, you don't know. You're going to be surprised always. So that's what I love about it. As long as they don't divert too much from the integrity of what a character is. Go for it.
So, well, and it's such a clever way of storytelling because you're having to tell two different stories. You're going to tell a story that's for the people who don't know anything, and then a kind of a different story with different surprises for people who kind of know what's coming. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's very difficult line to walk, and I think they generally do a good job of it.
Exactly. As long as you keep the integrity of the character and don't change it too much, then you know, you're fine. Run with it. So it'll keep people on their toes.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I got to say, as someone who has only read a handful of Moon Knight comics, and they were all kind of just like weird. I don't know. They were not very, I think the ones I read might've been a bad starting place because they were not ground level at all. They were very like in his head, Khonshu talking to Mark and stuff like that. This was such a smart way of starting the show. Like, I am in on this character of Stephen Grant, like, completely in. He's funny, he's smart, but he's really, really sad. Like, multiple things. Like, the fact that he is, his, like, dream is to be a tour guide at a museum. That is such a small dream, you know what I mean?
And it's being denied him, too.
Right, exactly.
So it's just like, you gotta be inventory in the gift shop, and that's what you're here to do. And it's just like, people can't remember his name, and it seems like he's not, that character is, there's a level of confidence, but there's no assertiveness. So it's just like, you know, he's just like, oh, okay, you know, all right. He doesn't want to cause trouble, but he does want to get his way at the end, so.
Yeah, well, he seems to be just getting stepped on all the time, though. From the very beginning, you know, he walks out of his house and there's people selling something outside of his door. And he says, yeah, that's fine. I don't have a problem with it.
No.
And then him like talking to the golden statue man.
Yeah.
Oh, that is so clever. That is such a funny affect, but it's like, it's kind of sweet because he's being kind to this guy. Like he reminds people to give him tips and stuff, but it's also like, you're talking to the one guy who can't run away. You know what I mean?
And also can't like talk back either. So he's basically talking like he talks to his goldfish as well.
Yeah, exactly.
So they're the very same thing.
He's very bad at human relationships, clearly. Like everyone in the story. And then the one relationship that seems to be blossoming with this date, he doesn't know about the date, which I assume means Mark made the date with this girl. And then Steven was supposed to go on it, and then Steven missed it because of Adventures of Mark, I'm guessing.
Exactly. And I wanted to just chime in with a couple of things. Our friend James Hewing, Yoda Hugh, I was chatting with him a little bit ago, and he said one thing. He goes, as being someone that's lived in London, they don't have lofts like that there. So that's a little bit Americanized, what he said, which is fine. But he also was confused on how the characters don't know, like Steven doesn't know about Mark. And in the comics, a lot of times Steven doesn't know about Mark and doesn't know about, like, and that's what happens with, you know, when you have DID, is that your multiple personalities may not know when another one takes over or remember anything. So that's why, you know, it's evident in the fact when he wakes up and he's got the sand and the tape and he's shackled to the bed and stuff, because he knows something goes on sometimes. Because he even says it. He goes, sometimes I wake up and it seems like I've done my 10,000 steps and I'm exhausted. And, you know, and then this time they show him that he wakes up and he's in the middle of that field, and then he's getting shot at, and he's like, how the hell did I get here? He thinks it's a dream, and then it's not a dream, and, you know, the whole thing with the goldfish. So I'm sure it'll all be explained in, you know, it's the first episode, so.
Well, I thought it was, honestly, I thought the timeline was pretty clear. We had some people in chat asking, like, what's going on? Is this a dream or is that a dream? No, I think it's all real.
No.
And what happened is... He, I guess, went to sleep. Mark takes over and goes on this mercenary trip to steal the scarab for Khonshu, I'm assuming.
Right.
And then comes back. But sometime in that event, the goldfish died. and Mark tried to replace the goldfish so Steven wouldn't notice. And that's why he had gone to the pet shop and said, do you have a goldfish with one fin? And they're like, no, we don't sell disabled goldfish here.
Is that like a Finding Nemo thing? Yeah.
So I think it's all just very much like they're just swapping back and forth.
Mm-hmm. For now, using Steven as the focal point for the viewer.
Yes.
And being like this, especially when he was in that the scene with the mercenary or with the cultists, where it was just like, even when he started hearing Khonshu, and he's like, oh, the idiot's taken over again, you know, but give him back. And then all of a sudden, you know, because he was sitting there and he's getting surrounded by the guards. The next thing you know, he wakes up, you hear that noise, he snaps out of it and his hands are bloody and there's just all the people on the ground. And he's like, what's going on? So, you know, at least I love that aspect where they're giving you hints. Okay, this is, everything is happening. It's all real, but we're not seeing the full aspect of it. We're just seeing it from Steven. Until the very end scene when they're in the bathroom and he's, you know, attacking or he's fighting with Amit's jackal guards. And just that's when we finally see Mark take over as, you know, Moon Knight.
Yeah.
So, man, I thought that was great.
So, so good. Like, I'm 100%. And just knowing nothing, if I knew nothing about the story and I know very little, it's just you're on a thrill ride and it's like a horror story. There's these very creepy elements. The hallway scene with Khonshu walking down the hallway is terrifying. And then what did you call the dog that he has to fight at the end?
It's those are representative of the, cause he's already mentioned that, Ethan Hawke's character is like the judge of Amit, who's another one of the Egyptian gods. And they usually have the jackal guards
with him. Okay. I just didn't know the name of them. So that jackal guard scene where like, he's like creeping up behind him and just in the corner with his glowing eyes, like creeping towards. That was terrifying. Halfway through the show, I was like, Alyssa is going to love this. You know, I was like, my girlfriend is absolutely going to love this show. And then we got to those scary scenes and I was like, never mind. She's going to hate this.
It's very, this first episode is very psychological without going too weird on it. Like you didn't want to go full out. Like, I was glad they didn't go, like, full-out Legion with this, where it was just, like, you have to watch the show and then listen to someone talk about it to watch it again. It was very linear and very, like, okay, you could figure out what was going on. So it's very much, you know, out there for everyone to watch without it being too cerebral.
But you should watch the show and then listen to someone talk about it. I'm just saying, I think that still seems like a good idea, even though it's not necessary.
No, I mean, that's good to do with anything to see what, you know, a lot of times you hear multiple people's interpretations of things and be like, oh, okay, that makes more sense now.
Yeah, I was just teasing that they should listen to the podcast.
Oh, yeah, you should always listen to any podcast on the network. So.
That's right. Okay, so I loved Steven. Just absolutely love him. I think they establish his character wonderfully. Those fight scenes you mentioned where he just like shows up bloody, like they skip the fighting, which is so clever because it just shows you, you know, we've seen this before in other media where like the camera cuts away, you see someone do something badass, or you see the result of someone having done something badass. You know what I mean?
Yeah, either like the body there or you'll see something like in like those type of horror movies, you'll see the attack starting to happen. They'll pale away, and then you might see a little bit of like blood splatter go off. So
right, exactly.
Keep it a little bit, keep the gore out of it. But yeah, that's how I thought they did great, and especially in that when they were in like the bazaar, the fight scene where it was just like you saw the aftermath of it. There was a lot of blood, but they didn't show any of the way that it got there. So
well, I think we're gonna get that though. I think the idea.
Oh yeah,
I think the idea in this was just like, it's that setting up of a character before they're on screen. So Mark and Moon Knight, they wanted these characters to have a lot of weight and strength behind them when they first show up on the screen. And so we just sort of get like, it's like you feeling the wind before you see what's actually coming. You know what I mean? You're feeling the effects of the character.
You're setting up the dichotomy of Steven and Mark, where it's completely different. It could be, and I've seen some people mention this or ask this in the chat, and it's been used sometimes, is that Mark is using Steven as sort of an escape from his other mind. But in some most of the times, it's like when you have this, you don't have control. But, you know, you're seeing it from that main aspect. I loved how you didn't see it at first until the end. And then when you finally did see Moon Knight, Mark Spector in action, he just took that guard out like it was nothing.
Yeah,
you know, because when he got the robes on or the gear on, and boom, he was just on the ground, done.
I got the sense that they didn't have control, but it seems that like Mark figured out the situation long before Steven did. It seems like Mark is smarter, more savvy, quicker than Steven is. I mean, they call him the idiot over and over. Khonshu keeps calling him the idiot.
Mark's the alpha mind. He's the main person.
He has the upper hand for sure. And he has, he figured this out a long time ago. So whatever Steven's doing, Steven thinks he's sleepwalking, I think. He mentions it earlier in the show. So he's just like strapping a thing to his leg. And Mark's probably waking up and going like, yeah, I know, it's his birthday or whatever. Like he's probably figuring out the code because he's like a whatever. He's a mercenary, they say this episode. So, man, I just think this first episode is amazing. I'm pumped. What do you think of the Ethan Hawke character?
I like him. He's sort of an amalgamation of a couple things I'm familiar with, but having him being sort of like that judge of Amit with the tattoo that, you know, the scales tip depending on if you're good or evil,
and
just having that type of power is kind of cool. And the fact that when he does it to Mark in the museum, sort of like the entryway there, was just like, you know, you have so much chaos in you. It doesn't know if you're, you know, it was just the scales were going back and forth, not making a decision. So
I thought he was going to kind of get away with it because he was Steven, and Steven's a good man. And so I thought it was going to weigh Steven, but then, and Mark might be a bad guy. We just don't know. You know, I thought that's what they were going with, but I really liked the idea of he weighs him and goes, you have chaos in you. And then the fight just begins. Oh man. So,
and they also alluded to something too, when he was talking and they showed the picture of Amit on the pillar there, where it was sort of like she was betrayed by the gods. And I'm thinking that could be the link of Khonshu could have been one of the ones that betrayed him. So, or betrayed her, making it be like, since he is a representation of him now, would be like tipping it to the bad side. But since there's so much, you know, chaos, like they said, it just had no way to choose one way or the other.
Yeah. Agreed.
So,
All right. Well, anything else about this episode? We're doing a real quick short take today on the, as we always try to do on these instant reactions, but it is late and we both have to be up early. So, any other thoughts on the first episode?
Just can't wait to watch it again after work and just be, it was fantastic.
Yeah.
Loving it so far. Oscar Isaac cannot, I mean, just the way that he played both characters. We only saw the one character, the Mark at the end, but him playing Steven was, you know, I thought his, I can't judge his accent very well, but I'm assuming he sounded well enough like a Brit to, you know, pass muster that way. So
yeah, someone said it in the chat that, oh my gosh, Oscar Isaac was wasted in Star Wars. And I was like, yeah, he was. Like, Oscar Isaac is an amazing actor, and they just didn't do that much with him in Star Wars. He's, I mean, he's good as Poe. No. I don't mind him at all. He's just, he's not doing anything intense. And this episode, he does amazing things, and we've only seen one of the characters so far. You know, we saw just a second of Mark. You know, we still don't know him. I'm really curious what they're going to do with the second episode. Will it pick up from here, or will we see it from Mark's perspective? Like, will we see some of this stuff from Mark's perspective? I'm curious if they'll go back, and even if it's not the next episode, at some point will we go back and see things from Mark's perspective?
Exactly. And if they do, this is definitely going to be one of those shows that if I see something pop up in my feed saying, check out this clip from next week's episode. Nope.
Yep.
Nope.
Staying
not
away.
Not going to see anything. You know, just let it roll out, because I think this is going to be one that's going to have a lot of surprises and just, you know, keep you on your toes until the end. So.
Yeah. 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 Absolutely. All right, guys. Well, I hate to cut it short. We might go a little longer next week, but, by the way, we are going to be doing this every week, Midnight Moon Night, right when the show drops at 2 a.m. Central. Check your local listings, but right when the show drops, we'll be Scener.com. That's SCENER.com/Stranded Panda. And we always do, if you go to the Stranded Panda chat on Facebook, we always do an event for it and everything. So just go to Scener.com/Stranded Panda and you can watch it with us live. We're doing a little chat while we're watching. And on top of that, then we do the live podcast immediately after on Twitch at like 3 a.m. So, we'll be doing that over the next, I guess, 6 weeks. Do we know how many episodes this is for sure?
Six. So yes, yeah, so we got 5 more times of this. Sweet. So bring it on.
So freaking good. Well, we'll be back really soon, guys, because we've got Morbius this weekend. I think we're going to maybe try to have something up Sunday-ish for Morbius, because I think that's the earliest I can watch it.
quick plug, if you wanted, we just did on the Source Pages podcast, which myself and Haley do, Haley Hobbs, we just dropped our Morbius primer that we cover, a run in his first appearance in Spider-Man. So
nice.
If you want to learn before it. We also did a 3-episode run of the Lemire Moon Knight from 2016. So you may want to listen to that maybe after the show's over, because I'm feeling they're pulling a lot from it. But again, none of the stuff that Marvel does in the MCU directly takes stuff from the comics and gives you it verbatim. It just gives you the highlights, and then it gives you a different ending, so you're always on your toes and you know what's coming.
Yeah. 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 Well, thank you for joining us. And yes, please check out Source Pages, everybody. It's the Reading Collective podcast where they read all the stuff that we love, all the source material that we love, the movies and shows of. So you can either, if you're a reader, you can kind of read along with them. They always like do a good job of planning, because Haley is the best. and they always plan out really well, so you can kind of treat it like book club, or you can just like join and like kind of listen in. I normally do that, because I don't have time, so I'll like just come and listen to the episodes and get an idea of what the happens in the books or whatever. Awesome, thank you, BVK, for being here.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Absolutely, we'll be back soon, guys. Peace.
Later.
Until next time. True believers.
Thank you for joining us for the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast, available everywhere you get podcasts, and now a video version streaming live on twitch.tv/strandedpandatv and available at youtube.com/strandedpanda. And if you'd like to learn more about all of our other podcasts, geeky projects, and ways to support the network, visit strandedpanda.com.